Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers.
The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice.
Okay.
Anyways, thank you very much for being here. You guys get the picture. Friggin' Odyssey. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saturday Night Livestream. I think it's safe to say that a lot of people are reeling from the events of this past Tuesday. Not because we overwhelmingly lost or anything like that. It's just the manner in which it happened. Obviously, something doesn't sit right with a lot of people. And you can say it's the electronic voting machines. You can say it's the entrenched corruption of the Democrats and the Republicans. You can say that it's candidate quality. But take a look at John Fetterman. That guy is not a quality candidate. How did he get elected to be the next senator for the great state of Pennsylvania? You know what I mean. Something isn't right. Well, our friend, the man, Mr. J.R. Majewski, is here tonight with us. We're going to talk about some things that he observed in his own race, and then we're going to talk about some of those nationwide trends that just didn't quite make sense. So, do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, guys, because we're going to be right back after a very brief word from the sponsor of this program. And please join me in welcoming our guest for this evening, my good friend, Mr. J.R. Majewski. J.R., how are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. You know, it's bittersweet. I'm not going to lie. I'm glad to have you back on the show. In one respect, I feel like we've had a yoke lifted off of our necks. We can go ahead and speak honestly about things. But in another respect, you know, I'm bummed because I really wanted to be able to welcome you to Washington, D.C. and to say, you know, we did it. But I don't think this is the end. You don't think this is the end, do you?
You know, I don't think so. It's going to be, you know, the next few months is going to be, you know, a period of me to, you know, have some, I don't know, some period of thought and, determine what my next steps are. I mean, you know, I would love to get back in the fight, but you know, it's tough, man. These people really, really don't want normal average Americans in Washington, D.C., especially those that are willing to fight the good fight and stand up for what they believe in. And maybe I should have kept my mouth quiet at certain times, but, you know, I don't know how to do that. So, you know, it is what it is. I have my integrity still. So that's all that matters to me.
Well, I'm glad that you have your integrity. I think that that matters a lot more than the rhinos in Washington, D.C. give that credit. Now, one of the reasons that I think people like you, JR, is that you're not just a politician, okay? You're not just a guy who's going to show up on stage or who's going to, you know, go to a press event and say what you're supposed to say so that people will trust you more, or you're doing things based upon what the marketing has told the team you're supposed to be doing. You're a real guy. You're saying what you think. It's the same reason that we love Donald Trump. You know, I mean, he's not afraid to get out there and be honest with people, because we have a lack of honesty in Washington, D.C. We have a lack of honesty in politics. And these dirty tricks, the same dirty tricks that they keep playing over and over and over again, are designed to keep them in power, but not to allow you to break that glass ceiling. This is like the proverbial glass ceiling. You know, I mean, it's like you if you could make it past that one point, then we would have our people in Washington, D.C., our people representing the will of the people and not just kowtowing to the whims of the Republican Party leadership. So I want to talk a little bit about this article that you wrote. I'm going to pull it up on screen so everybody can see it. And I was pretty stoked when you sent this over to me, when you showed me what you had written. So it's entitled J.R. Majewski. I'm a Republican who lost on Tuesday. It wasn't Trump's fault. It was the cowards in D.C.'s Mick leadership. Now, obviously, that's a swipe at Kevin McCarthy and what's the other one? Cocaine Mitch McConnell. And I think you're absolutely right. Let's go through this. I mean, what was it that was the impetus for you to write this? I mean, why did you decide to put pen to paper on this and when?
Well, it really came about. I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to move on and consider, you know, maybe running again. And then I saw this mainstream media effort to, you know, slander President Trump and blame it on, you know, blame these losses on everybody else, or excuse me, blame these losses on him rather than the leadership that really had, you know, all the control. President Trump is a American citizen, a private citizen, and you know, he makes endorsements, and just like any other organization or any other group, you know, that makes endorsements, he has, you know, a level of responsibility. But the sole existence of the NRCC and the NRSC is to get Republicans in the Congress, be it the House or the Senate. And, you know, the mainstream media's biggest fear right now is a Trump 2024 election cycle and candidacy. And so they're doing everything that they can to prevent that. And that includes, you know, starting this narrative that President Trump is responsible for, you know, what was supposed to be the red wave. But the fact of the matter is that the NRCC and the NRSC, I can't really speak for the NRSC, but I can talk about my, you know, interactions with the NRCC. You know, they played in races that they had no business playing in the 19 competitive races across the country. We only won one of them. And these are competitive toss-up races, right? Where they're, you know, barely leaning Democrat or barely leaning Republican. My race, for example, went from a D16 to an R3. And, you know, we ended up losing by 13%. And, you know, when you break down the numbers, you know, it's just a case where Marcy Kaptur ran this devious slander campaign against me. She was funded heavily by Nancy Pelosi, and they just beat the tar out of me lying, and they dominated the media market. And the reason why we got there is, you know, going through the NRCC's Young Guns program. Once you win the primary, if they see you as a winnable, you know, a candidate that win, they place you into this Young Guns program, which is supposed to provide you with all these candidate resources, and it's supposed to help you with your media, so on and so forth. And, you know, right after winning the primary, they committed $970,000 worth of media. And, you know, once we got into that program, which they drug their feet, and by dragging their feet, that left me a little bit, I would say I was a couple weeks behind per se, you know, with some of the major donors, some of the events that they had, because they would introduce candidates to major donors that, you know, would review what the candidate's running for, what their platform is, and, you know, they would donate to their campaign based upon that. And I got into that program late, and I can tell, I could describe to you the day that happened. You know, there was this classroom training, and they had about 20 of the new candidates sitting in a room, and they were giving us media training. And I'm not one for a classroom setting. You know, I mean, I was a first time candidate, yeah, but I know how to speak in front of a group. I've been through, you know, different leadership style trainings on, you know, how to speak to a group. That wasn't my weak point. Mm-hmm. And so after that, you know, they took us into this room and there were all these tables and there were members from the Washington DC media there and we had no idea this was happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every candidate had, there was two candidates to each table. The only candidate that had the table by themselves was me. And I was in the back of the room and the media was, the interviews were all off the record. It was just for an opportunity for Washington DC media to talk to you. And there was Republican, conservative media, if you would call them that. And then there was Democrat media.
Who did they seat you with? Any names that we would recognize or just people representing organizations?
Just people representing different organizations. I mean, yeah, you'd probably recognize them, but I don't remember their names. Mm-hmm. I just remember at the very end, there was a very liberal lady that started to question me. And, you know, the last thing that, the last question she asked was about, you know, January 6th and what I did there. Mm-hmm. And you know, I said, look, we went there peacefully. We didn't cause any problems. As soon as things started going off, we left. And, she says, well, you know, you were there. So because you were there, you participated in an insurrection and therefore you're an insurrectionist. And I said, have you ever been in Chicago? And she said, yeah. I said, oh my God, you are a murderer. And she went, what? And I said, well, maybe you're a serial killer. It depends on what day of the week you were there. And she kind of looked like, what the heck? And so, I said, listen, you know, ma'am, by your logic, just by, you know, by me being in a location, you know, where an event happened, you're accusing me of being guilty of participating. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I didn't. Mm-hmm. And we left peacefully. And afterwards I got reprimanded by the United States. Like, you can't do that.
Why
you
have to pivot. That is the best answer. That's the best answer. God.
But that's just the case of, you know, it's all about control, right? Absolutely. So then as we became, you know, more involved, you know, they wanted to have a presence, if you will, on my team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we offered them that. I mean, look, the exchange was $900-some thousand worth of media, right? I mean, how do you say no to that, especially right. when you're running a grassroots campaign? So the moral of the story is that they developed a relationship with me that made my campaign, you know, just 100% dependent upon the plan that we designed together, which included, you know, me and my campaign. I had to fundraise to pay my staff, fundraise mm-hmm. to buy the yard signs and pay for the applications for, you know, door knocking and, you know, just the, you know, the general things. And then the NRCC was to pick up the media, the radio and the television. And then when the, well, you know, I have interviews.
When was that arrangement made? How long ago?
Oh, it was probably in June or July, I would think. I mean, okay. or maybe okay. even as late as August. I can't remember the dates off the top of my head, but it wasn't immediate, but you know, it was a little bit of a foot drag, but you know, regardless, right? There was you know, the money wasn't going to be injected into the campaign until, you know, the media cycle was to begin, which would have been, you know, in October, right?
Okay.
Or after late, you know, the October timeframe. So, you know, the AP obviously wrote that hit piece. And, you know, I remember being in the NRCC's office in Washington, D.C. when that hit piece came through. You know, they started asking me a bunch of questions and I'm just like, what the hell? Where is this coming from? You know? And, you know, it's all a bunch of BS. And you know, they knew about my background because, you know, when I started with them, part of the program in indoctrination is, you know, you talk about things and you know, they do op-ed research on you too, because I mean, at the end of the day, if you get elected, they want to have things on you, you know, so the next cycle, if they need you, they always have things to hold over your head. And that's the dirty part of DC. But they knew about me. They knew my history. And, you know, they wrote the response to the Associated Press. And I wasn't 100% in alignment with it. But, you know, again, the looming threat was always, if you don't follow the rules, then you're going to lose money from the NRCC. Mm-hmm. And there was a bit of a contentious relationship between them and my consultant, and you know, it kind of bounced back and forth. And you know, little did I know. Well, then they put me under a gag and they said, you know, don't say anything about this. It's going to go away. The media reporter that wrote this piece is very fair, so on and so forth. It'll be fine. People will realize that, you know, he will realize that he's, you know, chasing a ghost, and he won't continue with the story. Yeah, he did. And it caught sale for 2 days. And I was just sitting there thinking, what am I doing? You know, am I really going to allow this to happen? Am I really going to allow the machine to take over? And finally I just said, screw it. And I got on Facebook Live and I put a video out, and I got a little bit emotional when I was talking about it, you know, everything. And, supposedly that angered the NRCC because they had told me not to say anything, and I did. And that's when they pulled funding. And so, you know, after they pulled the funding, there was like, some of my donors got upset, and they're big donors too, you know, the NRCC and the Freedom Caucus and other groups. And so they used their network to make phone calls to figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I got phone calls from NRCC leadership, you know, apologizing, saying it was all a timing thing, you know, and they were moving out of the race anyway, because it was an R+3 and I was a strong candidate. They thought I was going to win, and they were redistributing the money, so on and so forth. So I just thought, okay, you know, we'll be fine, you know? And so because
they pulled that money, you had no money for television or radio ads.
I had to realign my entire campaign budget, which left me with, you know, a fraction of what, because I had raised in the last quarter of the cycle, I raised over close to $400,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd been spending that, you know, paying consultants, paying for it. Like, I had to pay a promotion company to create 3 campaign videos. I mean, these things are expensive, you know? And, I had to prepay my fundraiser for Mar-a-Lago, which, you know, inevitably was canceled because of the hurricane. I mean, there was just a number of things but the money that we were spending on, you know, on my side was all planned out, right? Mm-hmm. We knew where it was going. Everything was straight and narrow. But then when they pulled out, that left me, you know, in a predicament where I had to reallocate funding and figure out how I was going to stay on TV. And, you know, the 3 campaign videos that we did, you know, they were useless at that point, right? Because I needed to come back and try to fight off the messaging that Marcy Kaptur had out there. And the other part of it is that, you know, we paid a significant amount of money to have a polling organization that was approved by the NRCC poll after, you know, the hit piece had came out. And their polling said, listen, JR's losing, but he can win. But the only way he can win is if he gets on TV and radio and he redefines and counters this message. And they said there are enough undecided voters and there are enough Republicans that are responding to our polling questions that are interested in him. I mean, my name ID went from, you know, high 40s to low 90s. And that was Marcy Kaptur's doing. Mm-hmm. And people were interested in, you know, the fact that Marcy Kaptur had been this lazy, non-existent politician for 40 years. Now, all of a sudden, she's running this, you know, she's everywhere, all over the media. She's all over the district, you know, with plastic checks. I mean, curiosity had peaked at that point. Mm-hmm. But the damning factor was the Marcy Kaptur ran and the local news started to pick up. And one of the news media outlets says, you know, the Republican Party abandons JR. And that was the damning factor, because the Republican Party didn't abandon me. The NRCC did. Mm-hmm. And voters in the district didn't have, you know, the wisdom to, you know, differentiate that distinction. And so a lot of the moderate Republicans, you know, they just inevitably, you know, decided not to vote for me. And, you know, that's assuming that, you know, the election went, you know, was fair across the board. I mean, you know, we're seeing you know, we're hearing a lot of things coming out of all of these different states. The Gateway Pundit just put out that article.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying the election wasn't fair. I mean, I've, you know, accepted the fact that I didn't win, but you know, if other organizations investigate and find that it was different, then so be it. But you know, I'm not insinuating whatsoever that, you know, this was a unfair election. What I'm insinuating is that the NRCC dumped me and they shouldn't have.
This is the thing. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can be cheated out of an election. And the direct manipulation of an organization like that, their decision to abandon you, I mean, that essentially was the death knell. I mean, that was the nail in the coffin. Whereas if they truly were interested in maintaining power in Congress, if they wanted to get America First Republican conservative candidates into office, then they very easily could have used a small percentage of their massive, massive war chest to ensure that you could at least meet the same level of media that Marcy Kaptur had. And of course, she's going to be able to outspend you probably 4-1, 5-1. I have no idea how much money she even spent on this race, but I know that it wasn't inconsequential, you know. And just mentioning that Gateway Pundit article, I mean, this is a really interesting thing. It makes me wonder how many other races throughout the nation did the NRCC and the NRSC perhaps as well just abandon people like you in the 11th hour? Because, you know, I mean, you hear Rich Barris talk about it, you know, talk about your lead, you know, how the redistricting had taken place. And as far as Rich was concerned, you were a lock, you know, as long as people know who you are, then, you know, that should be it. I mean, you play great to the camera. You're an honest guy. You know what you're talking about. You're passionate about your nation. You're passionate about your state. And you know,
and I have an energy background in a time when this country is desperately in need of energy independence. And that's what kind of frustrates me too, is like, you know, then there's this counter narrative from some of these moderate jackasses that want to say, well, you know, Majewski was a terrible candidate. And what they're not doing is they're not scratching the surface. They're not looking past, you know, this article, this hit piece, and they're not seeing, like, these are the same two guys that went after Trump incessantly, mm-hmm. right? These two jokers, like, they're full of shit. And, you know, they went after me. Look, man, I've never said I was running around the desert of Afghanistan with a Bowie knife, you know, slaying the Taliban.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I've spoken very little about what I did in the military. And, you know, that was intentional, because I wasn't trying to base my campaign on the fact that I was a veteran. I was a veteran 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I served 20 years ago. I was running on, you know, my connection with the voters, my love for the district, and my energy background, bar none. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some way, somehow, you know, they were able to manipulate that. And, you know, now they're trying to say that myself, amongst others, you know, are just bad candidates. And that's farthest from the truth, man. I beat the hell out of two incumbent, you know, elected officials here in the state, but they're looking to tarnish me. So if I did decide to run in 24 when Trump runs, mm-hmm. right, that I'm going to have another narrative to counter. But the fact of the matter is, man, I spoke up because I'm not scared of these fools. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm ashamed of the Republican Party right now. Like,
it's disgusting.
They should not be the NRCC, the NRSC. They should not have that much influence. They should not be. They should support you if your race is winnable,
mm-hmm.
and you are Republican. Absolutely. Those are the only two factors that they should be considering. If you're a Republican and your race is winnable. I mean, McCarthy and those guys are running around everywhere telling my donors in this state, telling constituents in this state, we were going to flip 50 seats. It was going to be a record-breaking season, mm-hmm. right? Election cycle was going to set records. And what happened? We flopped. We flopped because these guys have, you know, they've manipulated their strategy. And mm-hmm. now they're trying to set up this narrative where, you know, Trump's a drag on the Republican Party. I mean, he is the Republican Party.
He chooses to be, he is. Yeah, yeah.
And one thing about me, man, I'm loyal to the bone, and sometimes I'm loyal to a fault, but I know in my core that, President Trump didn't have to do a damn thing for me. I never asked him to do anything for me. I never expected. He did because he chose to do so. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. There were times where I needed and wished he would have jumped in for me. You and I have had many a phone calls where I'm like, man, if President Trump would just do this or do that. But I don't look at that as his responsibility. Mm-hmm. I look at that as an opportunity that would have helped me. Would it have helped him? I don't know. I wasn't thinking in that respect. Mm-hmm. But to try to tear up, you know, his credibility and take away what he did for this country and what he can do in the future. And now they're, you know, they're countering it too. They're piggybacking it with this, you know, battle where they're trying to pit him against Ron DeSantis. And mm-hmm. man, I mean, we can like both of those guys, you know, and they're grown men. They will figure it out. It doesn't have to be a media cycle.
You know, here's the I have a theory about what happened and why it happened the way that it did. You guys, before I start spouting off on it, I do have to mention the sponsor of the second half of the program. Okay, so here is my theory about what happened. So we're going to have another election in 2 years. So they went around telling everybody that we were going to blow it out of the water, that the NRCC and the NRSC was going to support all these candidates because we had to take back America. We had to put Republicans back in control of the House and the Senate. We had to neuter Joe Biden because America was going down the tubes. Okay. And of course, everybody believed that that was going to happen. We believed it. The mainstream media believed it. Left and right, they all believed it. They knew in their heart of hearts that that's what should have happened. But the NRCC and the McRhinos in Washington, D.C., they do not like Donald Trump. Think about McCarthy, wanted President Trump to resign after the events of January 6th. Totally spaghetti kneed, weak in the knee, capitulated and took it all back. OK, wants to be on Trump's good side as soon as he realizes that President Trump is going to maintain power. So if they want to get rid of Trump so bad, if they want to destroy any chance of him coming back in 2024, they create this fake narrative that it's Trump that lost all of these toss-up races that we should have won if they would have had the support that these organizations could have provided. Should have been a lock. No big deal. Okay, I don't even know that they had to necessarily cheat in any other overt way besides what they already had in place. Mail-in ballots, that's a problem. Electronic voting machines, that's a problem. Dead people on the voter rolls, that's a problem. Those three things.
Ballot harvesting is a problem.
Ballot harvesting, that's a problem. Those items right there, that's enough to steal an election. But I believe that we had the potential to overcome all of those things. All we needed was the awareness of candidates. All we needed was the education of the public to let them know that there was another chance out there, a different opportunity for them to put somebody else in office that wasn't going to be the same old, same old. So they create this narrative that the problem is Trump. They do that by abandoning all these candidates and not winning all of these toss-up races, because that way it's plausibly deniable that perhaps the Democrats could have won. And perhaps they won in those toss-up areas because those people still detested Donald Trump so much. These are the same people who would have us believe that Joe Biden actually won in 2020 when we know that he didn't. So they have this narrative, this story. And then at the same time that they're fostering this narrative at the ballot box, they're going behind the scenes and they are publicly taking these meetings with Ron DeSantis. Who knows if Ron DeSantis is even meeting with these people? Who knows what's said if they are actually meeting? But by leaking it to the press that they're going and having these backroom meetings, it creates that idea, that perception of public tension, and it sets up that tete-a-tete between Trump and DeSantis. And they get into the minds of the people through the mainstream media who create these stories saying that Trump and DeSantis are at each other's throats. People don't like Trump. People like DeSantis. This is the only way that they could stop Trump from getting reelected in 2024 is if they create another candidate that could potentially go up against him. They know that in 2024, it's an inevitability. Doesn't matter how much money they put into these races. Republicans will take the House and the Senate because they don't have anybody who is going to feel good about these next 2 years. People are pissed off already. Any of these races where Republicans should have won, and Democrats are going to be coming into office. Shit's going to get worse all across the board. The Joe Biden regime is going to continue the slow, steady decline of America. And by the time 2024 rolls around, people are going to be willing to elect anybody who's not a Democrat. So they won't even have to spend the money at that point. And potentially they can get rid of Trump by elevating another candidate in his place. And they can use this as an opportunity for additional fundraising in the meantime. Oh, we need even more money next time because look what the Democrats are doing. Look what happened last time. You didn't give us enough of your money last time, and we couldn't even support people like J.R. Majewski. So now we need all of your money because we have to elect Republicans. Now it's dire. Now it's dire. This is what angers me so much about the party. You know, they expect us to give them blind loyalty. But when it comes down to supporting the candidates that could actually bring about a whole host of wonderful things for the people of this country, they won't even support them. They can't support their own candidates unless they walk goose step, boot to heel, directly behind them, doing whatever it is that Kevin McCarthy or Cocaine Mitch McConnell tells them that they must do. They want total control. They want everybody to have the fear of what's going to happen if they don't get the support of the NRCC or the NRSC. And they want total power, and they want it to not be under Trump.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I just don't believe that, you know, I don't believe that Ron DeSantis, you know, actively worked. You're insinuating that, but I think Ron DeSantis is just a victim of the circumstance, right?
Absolutely.
And he's being put into a position, and, you know, Trump is probably feeling like, you know, what the hell's going on? And, you know, DeSantis just hasn't responded yet, but, you know, the active attempts by these folks to pit them two together it tells the story, you know, by itself. But, you know, they are going to continue, you know, behaving this way. And I just hope that, you know, the members of the Freedom Caucus that are standing up, I've been talking to quite a few of them over the past few days. And, you know, I'm not going to say any names, but there are some solid conservatives in the Freedom Caucus that are actively working. And, you know, we'll see what the outcome is, but, you know, I also find it kind of weird that, you know, some of the Trump surrogates are out there, you know, supporting McCarthy. It kind of bothers me too.
I haven't actually seen any of that. I've heard people talking about it, but I haven't gone out looking for it. Somebody actually accused Matt Couch of turning on Trump, and Matt was like, you know, absolutely not. I am loyal to the core. Trump is my guy. I will always have Trump's back, you know, but it doesn't mean that I have to agree with everything that he does. And I'm the same way. You know, I feel like we cannot afford blind allegiance in the face of, you know, questionable statements or bad decision making. I mean, we have to have room to disagree with each other and to have a dialogue so that way we can make the better nation that we want, so that we can come to a system where we're able to have a battle of ideas, a challenge of the wits, so then we can get the best ideas to rise to the top. I think that it's a mistake to tell anybody who has, you know, perhaps questions or concerns about something that might be happening to call them a shill or say that they're coming out against Trump. I think that's a mistake. And I think that any perception of that is being manipulated by a whole host of people in the background. I think that when people are saying that about certain people, it's a manipulation probably being put in place by the same people who manipulate us on a daily basis, whether it's intelligence or it's operatives of either of the parties. So I think it's high emotion right now. And I'm sorry maybe if I got heated when I was giving you guys my theory. But, you know, I am heated. I'm angry. You know, I mean, like, there are good things. We had wins. We had wins on Tuesday. But we didn't have the overwhelming win that everybody believed we would. And I don't think that it's just necessarily chalked up to I guess, you know, I don't know, reasonable ideas. I mean, like, this is a manipulation. Absolutely, it's a manipulation. And people see that, you know, and, you know, maybe the good thing is that people are going to recognize how much the system is corrupted and how badly every single one of us needs to take an active role. I mean, that's the only good thing that I can think to come from this. But we also have to get rid of those people in Republican leadership. I have seen, and I am going to have my friend Ivan Raiklin on the show here very soon. He's out there actively whipping votes right now for Trump as Speaker of the House. And I don't know how likely that is, but guys, if that happens, I mean, I think that's a real opportunity. I think that's an incredible opportunity we could have. And
I've heard about it. I've gotten calls about that.
Yes. And, you know, I saw people like Matt Gaetz openly talking about getting rid of McCarthy as Speaker of the House. He can't be Speaker of the House. We have to have somebody else. We need someone in leadership who is actually going to lead, and not for their own benefit, but for the benefit of our nation, for the benefit of the party, for the benefit of future generations.
We should never have an election cycle where we're talking about these two things. Number one, we should never have an election cycle where we're saying, you know, I wonder why such and such is losing. Well, maybe so and so in the Republican Party had a backroom deal with so and so in the Democratic Party and they horse traded, right? That should never happen.
No.
They should not have that much functional, right, leverage over a seat in the federal government. They absolutely should not. And you hear about that constantly. Well, you know, maybe there was an agreement by, you know, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer. If they let Blake Masters lose, then, you know, Chuck would stay out of the Georgia race and it'd be much easier for Herschel Walker. I mean, those are conversations that are, you know, freely had amongst many of the influential people in Washington, D.C. and locally. And the fact that we have that, you know, reverberating at the level of the voter is troubling, right? Mm-hmm. We should be freaking out about that. You know, we should be screaming from the top of the mountains that is our government, right? The people cannot elect candidates that align with them so long as there is power already sitting in government that pulls the purse strings. And until we fix that, we can forget about all this other stuff. You know, we the fact that, you know, mail-in ballots and the machines, all that other stuff, that's tertiary to the problem that we have with elected officials sitting in Washington, D.C., making decisions for Northwest Ohio or, you know, the West Coast of or the East Coast of Florida. I mean, you know, it should not be that way.
No, no. You know, and the thing is, they are attempting to stoke this division, to divide the party and to make two camps, one for Trump, one for DeSantis. But it's not organic, and it's not from any, you know, particular place of reality. It's a construct that they're trying to push upon us. I have an article on screen right now from Fox News. Conservatives point finger at Trump after GOP's underwhelming election results. He's never been weaker. So, who is actually saying this? Well, we've got somebody from the National Review, shill publication already. We've got some random guy named Max. We do have a blue check mark from the Reagan Battalion. I know nothing about them. I wouldn't say that they're a particularly authoritative force. And then we've got Jeff B. at Esoteric CD saying that basically that we got to move on from Trump. So who's saying this? Who's actually saying it? Who in the conservative movement is saying that? If you go ahead and search for something like that online, conservatives coming out against Trump, you've got articles from places like Newsweek, Yahoo, The Daily Dot. There's an authoritative source right there. If The Daily Dot says it.
Media Matters?
Oh, Media Matters, yeah. Mike Rothschild and Alex whatever his name is. You know, these are the people who are attempting to make you believe that there is a rift in the Republican Party. I'll tell you where the rift is. The rift is between the elites, the rhinos, and the rank and file conservatives of the Republican Party. That's where the rift is, because they want to maintain power
at all costs. You know, think about how much wonderful stuff happened under President Trump. And despite all of the beautiful things, the changes that happened to our nation, the rise in power and the rise in wealth, energy independence, all of these incredible things that were good for the people of this nation, and people like Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, they still couldn't get behind Trump because Trump was a wild card. He could not be controlled. And I think that they're willing to hedge bets and say that maybe they could control DeSantis. Who knows? You know, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, as a Floridian, even though I've only been here just over a year, I'm definitely a resident. As a Floridian, I would be extremely angry if Ron DeSantis decided to step away halfway through his second term as governor. And I'll tell you what, every other person down here would be pissed off about it, too. Like, we all want a DeSantis presidency after Trump's next presidency. We don't want to see Ron DeSantis and President Trump going at each other. And I will also say this. President Trump has a history of these apparent public spats with other powerful people. They might spar in the news. But I don't know how organic that is or how real any of that interaction is. I mean, President Trump has said things publicly, and then the next day he's having lunch with these people or shaking hands with them, and everything's fine, you know? So, like, I'm not particularly worried if it appears that President Trump and Ron DeSantis are tossing barbs in the mainstream media, which is full of shills and fake news CIA agents. Okay, let's be honest. These people don't care about us. They care about controlling us, and they care about controlling the narrative, and they've got to get inside your brain. Even if you're not a person who watches Fox News or MSNBC or you read mainstream sources, those ideas still filter down into your social media feed, and the people who are controlled start spreading that BS, and then it gets into your mind through like some brainworm type interaction. It's not real.
No, it's not. And Twitter's fake and it's full of hive mind bots that post the same thing over. I mean, like I could legitimately go on Twitter right now and post a picture of a kitten and someone would call me a stolen valor, fat, drunk, loser, you know, cultist, insurrectionist. That's the sad reality of Twitter and social media. And, you know, the same thing with, Facebook has gotten that bad too. You know, it's all these fake accounts, man, that are just, you know, out there trying to slander the narrative and get people to think, you know, along their message. And I thought this, and I still think that this election was, you know, the opportunity that we had to, you know, finally course correct and get us to where we need to be. And there's just no way in hell that the American people voted for, you know, inflation. They voted for high gas prices. No. They voted for, you know, triple the price of turkeys and bacon and milk and cheese. And there's just no way in hell. And, you know, student loans and whatever else the Biden administration was trying to pass off, that does not outweigh those other things economically. And, you know, the Democrats had a failing message and, you know, the Republicans sold us down the river. And no one saw it except for a small, you know, niche group of, you know, Republican leaders. They were all banded together. And I would not be surprised in the, you know, the upcoming months that we find out that the Democrats were, you know, Democratic leadership was involved in it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So getting back to that article from the Gateway Pundit, I just wanted to go through this by the numbers because I think it's, you know, it's powerful. So back in 2010, Republicans won the popular vote by 4.8 million votes, and they gained 63 seats. So then here in 2022, again, Republicans won the popular vote by nearly 6 million votes. We had more people come out and vote in this election, more Republicans, okay? And we know about all of the additional voter registrations, obviously popular sentiment about what's going on in the nation. And we only gained 9 seats. And, you know, that is perhaps up for contention because, they're still counting and they're still finding mail-in ballots. I hear in some places they're still accepting mail-in ballots, which is a farce. It's well after the time. OK, so in 2022,
We had 50,113,354 total Republican votes. There were 44,251,768 votes for Democrats. So that is 5.8 million more Republicans than Democrats. And we only gained 9 seats. And then you look at 2010, we had 44,829,751 votes to the Democrats, 38,980,192 votes. That's a difference of 4.8 million, but they won 63 seats at that time. And it just does not make any sense. It defies logic and convention. It's a statistical anomaly. But again, you know, I mean, that is
That's all we've seen for the last couple of years.
Statistical anomalies over and over and over again.
Math is hard, right?
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. We had 19 Democrats win in Texas. Okay, that's a red state. Yeah, they got a lot of illegals down there. Certainly, the Democrats have been making inroads to try to turn that purple and then blue. But 19, we've got four California seats that they're still counting votes for. They're still trying to find votes. And, you know, and again, what? It's almost a week on. It's almost a week on from the election, and they can't get their shit together. You know, obviously they can. If they wanted to, they could. But they haven't and they won't. What about the RNC? What about the RNC as a whole? Did you have any contact with them, or did they delegate all that stuff down to the NRCC?
They worked in parallel with one another, but you know, most of my interactions, if not all of them, were through the NRCC. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of interaction with the RNC. You know, Tommy Hicks, who's the co-chair of the RNC, was here, and he's an excellent guy. Like, that dude, I can't say a bad thing about him. You know, he came in and walked the district with me for a little while and knocked on doors, and he had a rally here for me that turned out to be really, really well. And he actually helped me with some of the Republican Party chairs that were, you know, extremely moderate, that wanted, you know, one of my opponents in the primary to win. I mean, he kind of set them straight that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, any Republican is better than a Democrat. And, you know, that's the other, you know, kind of contributing factor in all this, is that, you know, my district has been blue for 40 years under Marcy, and, you know, certain areas of the district don't know how to win, and they're scared as hell of her because mm-hmm. she is a tyrant. And, you know, the campaign that she ran against me is exactly what she would do to, you know, anyone running for office. And that's exactly how she treats opposition while she is in office. And, you know, the sweet old lady is really the Wicked Witch of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And, when you look at the numbers, man, across Ohio and in the 9th district, the only Republican to win in the 9th district, it was Mike DeWine. And, if Mike DeWine would have been facing Marcy Kaptur, our governor, he would have won. J.D. Vance lost in my district. J.D. Vance would have been defeated by Marcy Kaptur.
What was the breakdown for votes for DeWine versus his Democrat opponent in your district?
I don't know the exact, but he pretty much slaughtered her.
Okay, so it was a big win. Yeah. It wasn't inconsequential.
No, he won the state by 25%. Mm-hmm. And I think he had the highest margin win for any governor in the country, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And you're talking about a governor that had, you know, a pretty contentious primary. There was a couple of scandals that happened during the primary. And, there's still a scandal with House Bill 6 with, you know, him being accused of taking a buyout from, you know, the power company here in the state that I used to work for.
This is DeWine?
Mike DeWine. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had some scandals, and then look, when, we had the Trump rally on the night before the election, President mm-hmm. Trump called him up on stage and he got booed. Right.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell me how that makes sense, right? Tell me how that makes sense, where I get up on the stage of the Trump rally and I clearly had the biggest applause. I had the biggest reception from any candidate, mm-hmm. Besides Jim Jordan, yep. and maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene. But and I still, I'm 2 hours out of my district. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this has been, that's a common theme for me. If I go speak at a Trump rally, I usually get, one of the biggest receptions out of all the candidates, and
people love you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, that's what makes it hard to believe. I drive through Toledo, all blue Toledo. Right. And I got people, beeping at me, pulling up next to me, waving at me. I got people running out of restaurants to say hi to me. I got, people wanting to take selfies with me, all that stuff that comes along with, having, a good name ID. I mean, I've had more people excitedly approach me all throughout the district by far, mm-hmm. than negative interactions. All of my negative interactions with respect to this campaign have come on Twitter, mm-hmm. or Facebook.
Yep,
I mean, locally has been nothing but love, and that's what bothers the most, because I was extremely confident going into that night. I felt better than I did in the primary, and I knew I was going to win the primary. I had no doubt. And, a lot of people were doubting. A lot of people didn't think I could win. And I knew I was absolutely sure. Mm-hmm. I was twice as confident with this one. And, getting the results and hearing that, because Lucas County was the last one to report, and numbers didn't move in Lucas County for over 2 hours. And then they just started to dump in. And we drove around the district all day, and we were getting reports that they staffed the polling locations based on the second election that they had here in the state of Ohio in August, when there was like a very meek turnout. Mm-hmm. So some of the locations were short, 2 to 3 machines that they would have normally had, and then you had 1 to 2 hour long lines. And I know a lot of people were telling me that folks were going home. And then when you look at the mail-in ballots, I mean, Marcy had thousands, tens of thousands of more mail-in votes than me.
Well, she probably had every dead voter in the Toledo area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, how do you figure that out? You know what I mean? That's the troubling part. And no attorney general, no secretary of state, no one at the state level in any state is going to want to, hear that there are anomalies with the election. And I don't know if there are,
Well,
I'm just basing my questions off of what I'm hearing from these other states.
It's incontrovertible that we have issues with the voter rolls. Now, I saw somebody in the chat say something about how do we go on? I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine who lives back in Michigan, and he was saying, it looks like your state, Florida, did what I was hoping my state was going to do, your former state, Zach. I was hoping that we were going to go all red because of how bad things have been here and because of the sentiment from people on the street, and unfortunately they just went all blue again. I said they did the exact same thing they did back in 2020. All of the exact same factors that were present in 2020 were present in 2022. And chief among them being the existence of those massively overbloated voter rolls full of people that they knew were never going to show up to vote, because they were dead, or maybe they'd moved out of the state, or maybe they had a different name now. And they made sure that all of those people voted by mail-in ballot. And they did the same type of stop, drop, and roll, injecting ballots as they needed to. Now, if it would have been a fair election, I think we would have seen a very different thing. But that's why we had a very different result down here in Florida, because we did clean up the voter rolls. Okay, we were able to get some election integrity issues into our state legislature and have them act on it. Now, this goes to the answer of what do we do now? How do we move forward? Okay, so I would like everybody to watch the episode that I did just a week or two ago with the people from Defend Florida, Debbie and Raj, because that's an excellent example of how we move forward. They used grassroots conservative activism to push election integrity reform through the state house, to get actual measurable things done, such as cleaning up the voter rolls, to ensure that when people actually came to vote, that it would be a lot more likely that we would have alive people, people who really live down here in Florida. Now, yes, of course, we did register a lot of Republican voters, but there's another thing you can do. Okay, you can work with your local party. You can actively register new Republican voters and get them onto the voter rolls. I'd also like to know, JR, how many people in your district volunteered for your campaign? Do you have any idea how many people volunteered?
Oh, man. Probably upwards of 40, maybe more.
Okay, upwards of 40. That's good, but it's only 40. Okay. How many people were you representing if you would have won?
Oh, 700 some thousand.
Okay. So it's a minuscule amount compared to the number of people that live in that district. Now, I know that other people in the audience have also volunteered for campaigns. But I'd like to know how many actually have. I would imagine it would probably be close to the same percentage, because most people don't do it. Most people don't go out and volunteer for campaigns. They don't go door knocking. They don't go, you know, shaking hands and asking people to vote for their candidate. And there's no judgment here. But I'm telling you that if you were to get behind the candidates that you want to be elected into office, then that interaction that you could have with every single person you come into contact with could have a profound impact. And that could really help. They could make the difference between getting all of your advertising pulled and people knowing who your candidate is, because you're out there talking to people about them. You're out there stumping for them. You know, those are a few very small things that I think we can do. But I think that at the end of the day, when I was talking to my friend Dan earlier, you know, he said, I'm really dejected because it's obvious that the corruption is so much more deeply entrenched than I wanted to believe. And I said, you know, all we can do is continue to fight like our lives depend on it. Imagine William Wallace, okay, Braveheart, out there on the field. He knew he was probably going to die, okay? But he went out there and he fought like he was going to live, he was going to win, he was going to set his people free, and he was going to take every British scalp that he came across. And that's exactly how I plan to move forward. Yes, it can be frustrating when you realize how big this machine is. It's not just the Democrats. It's the Democrats and the dirty rhinos. It's all of the corruption that's all around us. But there are so many more of us than there are of them. And if every single one of us made a concerted effort to be a part of the system and actually work to overcome it every day, you guys, I guarantee you we can make a difference. And perhaps in the next election, we can see a very different reaction.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think we need the states. I mean, this is going to be – we're moving into I was talking with Steve Bannon the other day, and he said that, you know, we're moving into the age of the governor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to fortify our states, and states need to take control, need to take action, and protect their citizens from the federal government. And that's unfortunately where I think we're going. And
mm-hmm. I agree.
Florida's leading the way, right? And you know, we have a long road, man. It is disheartening, but you know, now's not the time to give up. And unfortunately, we've been all talking about this for, you know, 2 years now, 2.5 years. And, you know, you'd think that by now we would have gotten something done and made small steps. But the reality of it is that the harder we've worked, the more they've, you know, set up plans to cheat us. And that's their job. That's what they're getting, you know, paid to do every day. Unfortunately, we're paying them by way of our tax money. So
yeah,
I don't know the fix. I really don't. You know, I was hoping to achieve some type of influence in DC by virtue of being elected. And, you know, the reality is now is, you know, let's hope that they select a strong Speaker of the House. Let's hope they don't kowtow to, you know, putting McCarthy in, and let's hope we get a strong member. I mean, there are a couple out there that I would like to see as speakers, and, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, they can win the vote. They can garner the votes to get elected. I think we're going to see a lot of backstabbing over the next few days with members of Congress. And yeah, I got my ear to the ground. I'm sure I'll hear a lot, but you know, I'd love to see Thomas Massie or Bob Good or Gosar or, you know, a strong conservative take over that position. I'd love for it to be Jim Jordan. I just don't think that. I think Jim's got, in my conversations with him, he's got his, he already has the next 2 years plotted out.
Oh, I would imagine he's going to be running a lot of hearings and a lot of investigations. So I won't begrudge Jim his desire to take care of that stuff. That's something that I'm looking forward to. Low Country Brooklyn over on Rumble said, if you don't get behind the America First candidates, a uniparty PAC will endorse on paper, then sabotage, yet take credit if you win. This happened with a school board candidate in New Hanover County. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we have to do it. And you know, I also said this the other day. Why is it only showing one person is watching over on Rumble? That's so weird. So, I completely lost my train of thought.
Talking about they're endorsing candidates, taking credits for candidates that they didn't endorse.
There was another point I was going to make. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. I don't remember what it was. It'll come to me in just a second. Sorry about that. All right. Well, we've got our first caller on the line. Let me drop the meeting ID and the passcode into the chats. And thank you. Thank you very much for the counts over there, guys. I see that 1,678, Elaine. Okay. There is the call information right there. Definitely call in, you guys. Let me see. Okay, Master Debater, listen, man, I know you know what Fed posting is, okay? And you saying that we're never going to fix it is not doing anything to help. So instead of telling everybody else what you think they should do, why don't you tell us what you're doing? I think that you can be a part of the solution or you can be part of the problem. You can try to drag everybody down by telling them that it doesn't matter and it's never going to work. And, you know, you can, you know, jump off a bridge at that point, because why would you want to continue to live? Or you can actually do something in your own local community. I would love to know what you are doing and why you believe that there is no hope. OK, because as long as there is something you can try, as long as there is some action you can take, there is hope. And I refuse to believe that this is over and that America is gone and we, the people of humanity, are forever subjugated. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that. And it doesn't mean that we have to take up arms against our own government, because that's just a moronic – it's a moronic thought that you have right there, if that's what you're believing that we should do, because it would immediately end in bloodshed and there would be, you know, a total patriot slaughter in the streets. We don't want that. We need everybody fighting.
The only time we should even be talking about rebellion is in tyranny. And we're not there yet. We have a bumbling idiot as a president, and we have, you know, we have elected officials on the Democratic side. They're a bunch of communists, but we're not in tyranny. And, you know, this whole narrative that Republicans want to, you know, have a revolution on that's fake, you know?
No.
And
I don't want our country torn asunder. You know, I mean, like, they're already doing that. Why in the world would we work to do that quicker for them? Why would we want to help them do that? Okay, we have to heal this nation. All right, there is many, many different things that everybody can do in their own community. And this is the point that I was going to make. I'm sorry. Okay, the age of the governor. I think that Steve is absolutely right. And, you know, we see what that can result in down here in Florida. You know, it may be to the point where certain states are so deeply entrenched in the criminality and the fraud that they've been able to perpetuate that on a large scale, without incremental efforts, that it's not just going to happen, all right, that it's not going to be a quick process. So if you believe that your own community is too far gone, You have all the freedom in the world to go find another community, okay? Go seek out like-minded people where you're going to feel more comfortable and you feel that you could have a greater impact, because we have 50 freaking states in this nation, okay? I guarantee you there is some place you can go where you're going to find your people. And it doesn't mean that all is lost or that everything is done and that there is no point to continuing on, because as long as I wake up and draw a breath every morning, I have a reason to keep living. And this nation is worth it, okay? I love this country. I love President Trump. I love the people that I live with. I love absolutely everything about it. I am blessed beyond belief to have been born at this moment in time, to be able to witness this and to be able to take part in unraveling the giant corrupt machine that has taken over this nation. Okay. And if you don't think you're lucky to be here right now, then I think you need to take a look around. JR, I saw an interview last night with a 80 plus year old guy, the last surviving polio patient. Guy lives in an iron lung. Okay. Yeah. Had me crying. Okay, because I thought, geez, you know, if I ever thought my life was shit, all right, you know, this guy can't move, he can't breathe for himself, he can't go to the bathroom, he has to survive daily living in this giant iron tube that breathes for him and people surround him and they have to help him out to do everything, all right, and he's lived this way since he was 6 years old, like 75 years, this guy. Living in a tube, all right? And yet he had a better attitude. He was happier. Mm-hmm. He was more personally fulfilled. He had more faith in God than anybody that I've ever met in my real life. And it made me realize that doesn't matter how bad things look, okay? Things can be so much worse. And the fact that you're walking around, the fact that you're able to drive a car, the fact that you're able to bitch about the fact that things are not the way you want them to be, it should tell you that you are blessed and you need to start thinking about things differently, okay? Realize the beauty that lives around you. Realize the miracle that you are. The fact that you can get out of bed, put your feet on the ground every single morning. And maybe you're not somebody who can do that. Maybe you're in a wheelchair. Maybe you got to use a walker. But at least you're not living in an iron lung. And even if you were this guy, you know, I don't know that anybody that I have in my personal life, JR, would be as happy and as personally fulfilled as this guy, you know, for everything that he's gone through. It was it was incredible. I was in tears. I was crying. You know, I couldn't believe it. And it made me feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world. So, you know, and I through doing this, JR, I got to be friends with you, man. You know, I mean, it's like I got to be friends with all these people here in the audience. And, you know, I mean, never forget, you guys, we're here for each other. We're here for each other, and we've got to remain here for each other. It's never too late. It's never too late. All right. I'm sorry. I'm getting off my soapbox. But if you ever wanted to know what hardship is like, seek this interview out. It was something else.
I know the guy you're talking about. I've seen some documentaries on him. He draws and paints and uses the internet and everything.
Well, he's got and he's a lawyer. They told him he was never going to speak again. So he learned to speak. They told him he was never going to be able to breathe again. And he trained himself to breathe outside of the iron lung as a child for 3 minutes. He got to 3 minutes and then he set a new goal. He made it so that he could breathe for an hour, and then he got to 3 hours, and then he got to being able to gulp air and keep himself alive for the whole day. Then he went to like Texas A&M. He got his bachelor degree. He got a law degree. He had a successful law practice. He fell in love. It was incredible. Sweeta, are you there?
Yeah, hi, it's Bill.
Hi, it's so good to hear from you. How you been?
Yeah, I've been good. It's so good to hear from you too.
Awesome. So what is on your mind tonight?
You know, I'm a Trump supporter as well. Mm-hmm. But I also sort of feel that, you know, maybe it'd be better if, DeSantis came in, because the media is just toxic when Trump is there. And, you know, what they have done with Trump, they will not be able to do with DeSantis so easily. You know, what they've done now internationally, people, look down at President Trump. he's some sort of a clown or something. Even international media, they side with CNN and they side with MSNBC, even if they don't go for the Russiagate narrative. But they can't do that with DeSantis. And when they try doing that with DeSantis, people will wake up, you know, that, you know, what media has done with Trump was also something, so what they're trying to do with DeSantis. What Republicans were able to see, everyone will be able to see the same thing once when they try to do it with DeSantis. The toxic environment which is there from the media when Trump is there, and then Antifa flares up and everything, that would be a lot lesser if, you know, DeSantis is there. Like I said the last time also, abortion, I agree with a lot of things with Republicans, but again the abortion issue, I don't agree with no abortion stance of the thing. And that would have, you know, that has been the cause for this red wave not happening.
Okay. JR, get in there. What do you think about this?
So, number one, all due respect, I don't think the American people should care what the international community thinks about our president, especially when you're talking about someone like President Trump. I mean, he's been very effective internationally, and his foreign diplomacy has been stellar. Number two, regardless of whether it's President Trump, whether it's Ron DeSantis, whether it's Glenn Youngkin, whether it's Ted Cruz or any of these other potential presidential candidates, they're going to face the same wrath from the mainstream American media, because the media is emboldened and empowered to behave in the way that they are. There's nothing holding them back from behaving the way they are. And what we do know is that Trump has been effective in office, keeping the media at bay. It's been when he is out of office that they have been a detriment. I mean, the guy was extremely effective, despite the fact that he was under a...
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Constant witch hunt. And I think at the end of the day, you know, the American people are, I mean, Trump showed at his rally that, you know, in every state that they polled in, he was polling higher than any other potential candidate, DeSantis included. And, you know, realistically, this is what primary elections are for. And, you know, Trump and DeSantis have to make the decision on whether or not they're both going to run. And then at that point, it's up to the American people to decide. And that's the beauty of our, you know, our electoral process. But I wouldn't say that we should make a mandate outside of the primary election on who should or shouldn't run. I think every qualified Republican that wants to run for president should run. But I also know that Trump has done a really, really good job over the past, you know, 6 years of garnering a base of America First populists that want to see him in office. And, you know, because we recognize that he's responsible for this movement, there are people that are just loyal to him. They're not going to budge. And yeah, would, you know, DeSantis, we could assume that it would be different, but I can tell you, I don't believe it would be any different. I think it would be the same media onslaught, because DeSantis doesn't get treated very fairly in the media either. And
you could
probably speak on, you know, better and better on that than I could, being living down in Florida. But I know that when I see him on the national stage, outside of this little back and forth between him, you know, the perceived back and forth, anytime DeSantis is on the news, they're attacking him for something that he's done.
It's true. Yeah. Let me give you my two cents on it, Sweeta. So right now, well, first of all, the media being, you know, the fact that they're controlled and that they're working for a single unified goal, and that is to be the media arm for the Democrat Party and the cabal as a whole. They have to create a boogeyman, okay? And Donald Trump is that foil to them. He is that boogeyman. But once he goes away, they're going to have to create another boogeyman. And Ron DeSantis, I truly believe, would be treated just the same way. Now, we have no idea what kind of, president Ron DeSantis would be. I think we can kind of speculate based upon how good he's done down here in Florida. But if he did for the United States what he's done for Florida, that would be just as dangerous to the mainstream media and to the Democrats. And I think that they would use every tool at their disposal to twist whatever agenda he might have and whatever he does to make him as hated in the mainstream media as Donald Trump is right now. And, and I understand what you mean. I've heard this, this argument a lot that if, President Trump just has such a negative connotation around him, he should just step back. But I don't agree with it because that negative connotation is due to his effectiveness. It's because he fought so hard for the common people of America. It's because he was so effective at getting the overall agenda that conservatives and not even just conservatives, but liberty-minded people into existence. And again, all of that is dangerous to the status quo and to the cabal and the Democrats and the rhinos. They would literally find the next person and they would do everything they could to neuter them or stop their ability to deliver for America. And it's just we're so used to seeing Donald Trump be that boogeyman. And so that's why people think, well, if Trump was gone, then it would be fine. But no, they would just keep going. They would do whatever they had. And with regard to abortion, the situation there, I believe that it should be based upon the laws of the state. And it's something that the federal government never should have had a hand in regardless. My feelings about abortion notwithstanding, obviously I've been honest about it. I don't think that there should be abortion. But the reason that people are in favor of abortion is because I believe they don't truly understand what's happening there. I mean, the fact that as soon as you have conception, you have life that's created. And that's based upon my belief in the intrinsic nature of the human soul and the sanctity of that life that's created. The Democrats have a cult built around death and sacrifice. And the existence of abortion allows for that sacrifice to continue, and it allows for their depopulation agenda to continue, and it allows for their trafficking and black market and even white market baby parts and all of the secondary stuff that comes along with it. So I'm definitely not in favor of all that stuff. But we got to move on to the next caller because we're 20 minutes in, and I really appreciate.
One point I wanted to make. The good thing now is now on Twitter you can have a debate, a real debate, on mail-in ballots and mail-in ballots not being thing. Earlier, those debates would not have been allowed. Saying that there's no voter fraud, but now that Twitter is in another hand. Voter fraud debates on voter fraud may come, maybe they may happen on Twitter, and
I hope they
may not get diffused so much.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking forward to getting back on there. Are you still on there,
Sweetie? Thanks, Ed.
Okay, good. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. I appreciate your call. Okay, let's see. All right, you guys. there are no mods on. On Rumble. I feel like people are just going apeshit tonight on Rumble. I don't know what that's about, but we've got another caller.
They're following me.
It could be. I've got my own fair share of acolytes, if you will. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get a name?
Thank you.
Hi, caller.
Hi, this is PJ.
PJ?
This is PJW.
Okay, PJW.
Yep,
awesome. Good to hear from you. Make sure you mute the stream in the background so we don't get the delay. And it's awesome that you called in tonight. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, I just wanted to tell JR that I was at the Lagoon Saloon on Thursday and had a table run in his name. Yeah, you do, sweetheart. We have to have some meetings of the minds, my friend. I've contacted True the Vote and I'm trying to start a grassroots. And I know that they think that Ohio is safe, that Ohio has the best, you know, voter verification, all this crap. But we both know that no place is safe. So what I want to do is get in touch with you and others. I want to get this thing started to start a grassroots petition to force one-day voting, no machines, voter ID, verifiable. All of this stuff needs to start someplace. And if we could start it in Ohio, maybe it'll go to other states that are in the mess we're in with these idiots in Arizona that can't count a ballot.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to, I know there are some talks, you know, with respect to doing some things different in Ohio. You know, the one thing that I've found is that, you know, these states have long-term agreements with vendors that are providing them these machines, and they don't want to get out of that. You know, it's a revenue stream, just another revenue
but
stream.
Can't we force them to get out of it? It's our money after all.
Yeah, I'm sure we probably could, but I don't know the process in which that happens. It needs to happen in the legislature. I mean, we can push it from a grassroots perspective, but I think the model was set in Florida. It's not something that, you know, it's not a wheel we need to reinvent. We just got to get some strong members of our state legislature to stand up and push it. And
I want to do
a few, but
hold their
we
feet
just got
to
get it
fire.
On the radar. Yeah.
But JR, you know, I'm of the age. My husband was a Boilermaker union man. He was at Local 85, and Marcy Kaptur, in her first campaign, told them she was running on, get it, term limits.
Right.
And she lied to them like she's been doing for 40 years. And she's made a living off of this. And now she wants to be the longest running, whatever she is. But that old bag needs to be removed. And I am so sorry I couldn't pull out for you. But man, oh man, I back you all the way. And if you want somebody to stand with you in 2 years, if you're going to do it, I'll be healthy enough to be behind you.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll make my decision in the next couple of weeks. It's really going to boil down to, you know, can I do it financially? Two years ago, I was able to do it, and you know, they've ruined a lot of my. I mean, they've ruined my name online. They've spent $10 million calling me, you know, a bunch of false names and accusations. So, you know, I can't run back to the nuclear power industry. Yeah, I have to figure out another way.
I just don't know how they can get away with that. It is what they do. But you know what? The people here, at least in your own county, knew better.
Yeah,
they backed you.
I know. We won every county but Lucas and Wood. So.
Well, and you probably would have won them too.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
She's a dirty battle axe. I call her something else, but I don't want to make Red Pill pissed off at me.
No. Don't worry. I wouldn't. In times like these, PJW, I think profanity is absolutely warranted. You know, we have been put upon for a long time. And, you know, I think it's time for people to be angry.
Oh, I'm more than angry, and I'm too old to get this angry. But you know what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcy Kapp Turd, there's a D behind her name for a reason.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely
I love you
it.
Both.
Love
I
you
love
too,
you both, right. And someday we're going to get back together, JR.
You got it. You know where I live.
I do.
All right, hon. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate
Good night.
It. Yep, have a great night.
Yeah.
All right, so somebody said that Oz has officially conceded. So looks like they're not going to attempt any type of, I guess, challenges in Pennsylvania, which that's kind of frustrating to me. I thought that this time around I was told that the Republican Party was ready for legal challenges in cases where it looked like perhaps strange things would have happened. The Gateway Pundit has also filed a civil rights lawsuit against the officials of Maricopa County. So we'll see how that goes. As of the latest counting, the ballots that have still been coming in Maricopa County have been favoring Carrie Lake. So that race is not done yet. M-Town 58814 says, thank you, Zach, for what you do. JR, thank you for running. I wish the corruption wasn't so bad in Ohio. Yeah, corruption all around. All right, we've got two callers on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Make sure you mute that stream and then tell us your name.
Hi, this is Bro Dude.
Bro Dude, good to hear from you, buddy. How you been?
I'm doing very, very well. How you doing, Zach?
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for your call. What's on your mind?
I say, Majewski, you did a great job, bro.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, I've been going, I'm telling you what, Zach, it's been crazy. I've been logged onto my computer. I've been watching Charlie Kirk and Steve Bannon in the War Room. They're doing a play-by-play over there on the Arizona debacle. Mm-hmm. And, I've just been looking around. I trying to get a pulse on what everybody's feeling. And then, the bottom line, I've zeroed it down to this, Majewski and Zach. This is what I zeroed it down to. Those machines got to go, bro.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Those machines have got to go. Majewski, I was listening to you, and you're right there on the ground floor, and people are, they're coming up to you. You got a pulse of what's going on in the community. And your own confession is, I can't believe it. It doesn't line up. You know, you get the applause from the audience when you're with Trump, and when you start seeing it doesn't line up. And here's the whole kicker: all of us that are watching it, it's not lining up to us either. We have a pulse at where we're at. I'm in California, so you want to talk about Crazyville?
Oh yeah, they're still counting there too.
But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. And Zach, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just kind of yapping here.
You just rap. Go ahead.
but a lot of people, a lot of people don't, because they just think of California and Crazy Nancy and Schumer. You know, there's over 5 million registered Republicans in California.
Mm-hmm.
5 million. You can probably add a couple Midwestern states, and they don't even add up to that many Republicans in one area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's driving us crazy out here. Look, we had seven seats over here in California that was all Republican. You know, they're still counting. Listen to this. They're still counting, and they're going to start counting for another 2 weeks in all these predominantly red districts. Okay, now this is huge. Who's going to control Congress? Now, I'm telling you, my wife is going, honey, what are you doing? I've been sitting in front of my computer for 3 days. And I'm just, I got my pull. I'm looking around. And Zach, I've been following you a long time. I was following you before you put yourself on screen. You remember when you were on YouTube?
Oh, man, yeah.
I've been following you. I've been following you a long time. And, we went through the J6 and the 2020 debacle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just telling you, I've concluded, and I don't know, Majewski, am I wrong on this? I mean, I feel from where the pulse I'm getting is these Dominion voting machines. Everyone's saying we need to go out there in power. We need to vote. We need to vote. You realize we have 6 million more voters? 6 million more voters that participated than in 2020. 6 million more. And we still are neck and neck.
Yeah.
Something isn't right. I'm not a mathematician. Okay. I finished in the bottom third, top third of the lower class of my graduating class. I'm not a mathematician, but 6 million more votes, that tells me there was a red wave.
Absolutely.
And just like Majewski was saying, he had a pulse in the ground. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to the guy. I don't believe Majewski's lying to us. I think he's telling us the truth.
He's
got a pulse. He sees what's going on. President Trump, he didn't have to do what he did, but he did. And Trump knows it. We all know it. you know, and oh, by the way, I'm just going to, you know, everyone's throwing in their 2 cents. I think I'm going to throw in my 10 cents. Look, it's Trump 2024, period. Yeah. I don't care. It's this Trump 2024, period.
Yep.
Irrefutable, unmovable. We don't have this movement unless Trump did what he did.
So true.
And for what that man went through, his family was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He lost over $1 billion. I mean, what that man did for this country.
He deserves our support.
He deserves us, right?
Yeah.
And it really irritates me to no end when I hear people bailing out on Trump.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, good riddance. Good riddance to you. Go in. You know, they let the door kick in the backside.
Those people got on that most of those people were the ones that got on the caboose. I mean, we were up in the front of the train.
Bro, we've seen it. We're all here. You know, I've been supporting Zach for a long time. I don't even know Zach personally. I listen to him all the time. You know, we know we do what we can, right? Majewski, we all do what we can. But I guess one question I got for you, Majewski, here's after everything you went through, I guess one question. We're all in on this, so we got to get solution oriented. We know darn well those voting machines have something to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? Let's not talk in general strokes or general, we got to be part, you've got to get involved, we got to protest. Okay, that's all sounds good. We need to be ABC. I'm a linear type guy. A equals B equals C. Be definitive in our motions. Let's not waste energy and, you know, we're just talking nonsense. I believe there's enough of us that if we had some type of strategy to combat, we know. Now, we've had 2 years and we knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't anticipate the things they're doing now. So what do we do to get this right? How do we get these machines out of there and get what do we do? Let me stop there, Majewski. What would you tell us what we need to do at the local level instead of speaking in generalization terms? Be definitive how we can tackle that.
Well, even with paper ballots, they're still feeding those paper ballots into a machine, and the machine's reading them. I mean, we have a top down dependency upon machinery in some right. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we need to reform our electoral process across all 50 states, and we need to have some. I mean, look. Each state retains their right to sovereignty, but when you get into, you know, states that are collating ballots at the federal level, I think the federal government has a right to then come in and mandate some type of a stipulation that keeps things at least on equal playing fields, right? And you have all of these states that have already counted their ballots; they already know who's won. And machines aside, Arizona should be able to do that. And then you also have to take into consideration the fact that these officials that are being paid, these poll workers that are being paid, their job is to count ballots. I mean, that's the job. Their job should be to go through them and, you know, develop the aggregate of who's the winner, who's the loser. And we've reinvented the wheel because we've gotten lazy and we've tried to utilize technology, you know, to our advantage. The problem is that we've lost control, and it's pretty simple. We need to hit the reset button and look back 20, 30 years ago. What were we doing before the machines? And, you know, the solution is there. We just have to, you know, the problem is with every one of these situations that we're talking about here with voting machines and having people there counting ballots. I mean, it all goes back to the money. And I guarantee you that these secretaries of states that are running these elections, you know, they have a vested interest in not breaking their commercial agreements with these machines. There's a lot of money that goes into Dominion. There's a lot of money that goes into these other these other organizations that develop this technology. So, you know, it. I think we have to put a full court press on our elected officials.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what has to happen, because they're going to continue to tell us that there is integrity. They're going to continue to tell us that the machines are good, because 90% of them have absolutely no clue. They think it is good. That, you know, the machines were sold to them. They had to sign off on the contracts, right, with these companies that make these machines.
And, some of these people just don't like to look like they're wrong. Okay, they don't want to admit that they effed up. But I absolutely agree with JR. I think that getting rid of the voting machines should be number one. And then number two is cleaning up the voter rolls. And a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, in most states, if not all of them, the people can propose constitutional amendments. And if we had a constitutional amendment to your state constitutions to mandating the cleanup of the voter rolls, say every 2 years, every 5 years, you know, that would go a long way towards stopping them from being able to inject all these ballots. And I think along with that, we have to get rid of mail-in ballots. But the only way to do this is to put that full court press on our elected officials. And I'm saying across the board. I mean, we have to be talking about it at the local level. We have to be talking about it at the county level. We have to be talking about it at the state level. And we have to be talking about it at the federal level. Because as you go up that food chain, those people are going to get elected to higher levels of office. And if they keep hearing every single day from their constituents that we need to get rid of these voting machines, what are you doing to get rid of these voting machines? What are you doing to clean up the voter rolls? Then it's going to be ever present in their mind. And a lot of these people, I think, have very short attention spans. You know, I mean, they're going to pay attention to whoever is in front of them at any given point. Obviously, whoever's lining their pockets, whoever is donating to their campaigns. But if every single small donation that came through had a note attached saying, you need to clean up the voter rolls and we need to get rid of electronic voting machines, that might have an impact. Think about it. You know, I mean, somebody like JR, you know, I mean, most of his donations were from, you know, individual people from his district. Same with Donald Trump. I mean, it's, you know, think about all of those donations coming into the RNC or coming into Win Red or coming into President Trump's PAC. You know, if everybody had something to say about that and was actively working to make that happen, you know, I mean, you can join your local, your county GOP, and you can actually become part of the county Republican machine and officially make cleaning up the voter rolls and getting rid of electronic voting machines part of your county Republican platform.
Yeah, you know what? You know, Zach, I don't mean to cut you off, Zach.
No, you're up, dude. Go for it.
Okay, so the thing is, I don't know if Majewski said it, but he got stiffed, okay? McCarthy and everyone that had the purse, he got stiffed. That's the reality of it, right? These guys are going to put the money where they do, right? That's mm-hmm. what they're going to do. Mastriano there in PA, 412, he's absolutely livid that his guy
absolutely
didn't get in there because McCarthy hold the purse. There's no reason, Zach and Majewski, there's no reason he shouldn't have jumped in behind Majewski. There's no reason that shouldn't have happened, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, Majewski, I'm going to say, we all know what's going on. And even that remedy, which you just said, Zach, not that I disagree, I'm just saying, even if we did all that, who's going to hold that purse, right? We're right back in with those rhinos that control that purse. That's what irritates us to no end.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll even throw a little more salt. I'm just yapping here, Zach. But
mm-hmm.
people, and I've heard it say, people have left California because they're going to more red states. Okay, I agree. Believe it. I have family in Arizona.
Yep.
I got people across, the Midwest as well, Texas. But I've considered it a lot. But I go, you know what? California is ground zero, bro.
Mm-hmm.
If they continue to do this, there's over 5 million Republicans here, conservatives. But if they continue to do this, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Well,
bro,
you know what I'll say about
coming. They're coming for the red states. If California doesn't hold them off, bro, I'm telling you, they're just coming to the red states, and that's how they're doing it, bro.
I agree. What I will say this.
We have to.
California's different. Because you guys have the new California state initiative that is actually much farther along than most people realize. So you've watched the show, so I'm sure you see my interviews with Paul Preston. You know, this is it's a constitutional process, and it is closer than it's ever been. So that right there would create a seismic shift in the power that's inherent. They'd be totally done. Half the electoral votes go straight to red. 55. Okay. Yeah.
That's correct. Gone. We that would torpedo their whole plan.
Yes, it would. So then, on top of that, in regards to the frustration and, you know, having to be in bed with these people that we know are corrupt, this is the only thing I can say about that is that we didn't get to this position overnight. And how long has it been How long has it been that people have really been paying attention to this? 2 years, 4 years, you know, maybe 6 years, you know, and I'd say that, so it's incremental. I know that it's frustrating because we want it now. We want justice now. Justice delayed is justice denied. But we haven't really been fighting for this for a lifetime, you know, and now we have an opportunity to make this the number one issue. And despite the fact that it's going to take time, I think that time is on our side.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I spent my little time venting. Glad that you guys listened.
Absolutely. Hey, man, I'm glad you called in.
Right on, Red Pill. Hey, JR. Hey, man. We really were rooting for you, bro. So when you come back and you. I don't know what you're going to do from here, man, but I'd love to hear more about how you want to be, how do you want to strategize and for us just to get back up on the saddle and keep going. I'm open to hear. All right.
I appreciate it, brother.
God bless you. Have a great weekend.
God bless you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. All right, you guys, we've got two callers on the line. Let me go ahead and bring in Father Larry. Good to hear from Father Larry. Let's see. Oh, hey, Father Larry's on camera even. Look at this. How've you been, sir? Good to see ya.
Come back. I don't know what they're going to do from here, man.
Make sure you mute the stream.
There we go.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, Father Larry. It's good to see you.
I'm glad that I did as well.
Absolutely.
I've wanted to talk to you about my nonprofit.
Yes.
And I felt that the best time was when I saw JR on. knowing that JR is a veteran.
Yes.
First of all, I want to say, JR, I don't necessarily believe that you lost. Mm-hmm. because I've been spouting for about a year now that until we get rid of the Dominion machines, the same algorithms are going to continuously corrupt our elections, and that until that, we need to kind of bite the bullet. And my first thought is after the our next new House and Senate come into being, they need to pass a one-time bill to pay for a forensic audit of every single state in the nation.
I agree. It needs to happen.
If we want to make that first step in solving this election corruption, you need to start with step number one. But as far as, and then I want to move on to my nonprofit for veterans. It's, St. Michael's Veteran Support Center. I started my idea because I'm a veteran. I've been losing services from the VA, and I don't accept it. So I decided nobody else seemed to be stepping up, so I am. It seems like it's starting here in Colorado. I have interest from Texas and Wisconsin already, and I'm setting up points of contact in at least another half dozen states. And I'm hoping that JR, being from Ohio, he might give me a call and I might be able to finagle my way into getting him to be a point of contact in Ohio for me. Because the way it's looking, we'll be taking St. Michael's to many other states. I'm trying to make some connections with some movers and shakers. And I obviously watched JR do some moving and some shaking in his own state. And, you know, he might be able to help us out.
Yeah, I'd be interested in helping Father Lur. I do know a very significant Republican donor in the state of Colorado who happens to be a retired Navy captain. That is extremely.
And I happen to be a Navy veteran.
I might be able to appreciate
that connection.
Yeah. If you want, you can send me an email. It's jrmajewski@icloud.com. Pretty easy.
iCloud?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just shoot me an email, and we can talk over the next few days and see what I can do to help you. Absolutely.
iCloud.com. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I shall.
Awesome. Excellent. I will respond like I always do to everybody.
Okay, good.
So, glad Father Larry, if people want...
Muted.
Yeah, I just figured that out. If Father Larry, if people want to find information about your organization, how can they do so?
Well, they can go online and put in all one word, St. Michael's Veterans Support Center.org.
Okay. All right. Do you want to give out a phone number or an email or anything like that? Do you have any social media that they can follow as well?
I do believe that Debbie Rausch has the email or the website address, because I know she's put it in for me before. But my email address is my last name, Kirchner, KIRCHNER, @priest.com. It tells everybody who and what I am.
That's awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Father Larry, I know that you've been trying to get a hold of me, but with the election, it was just not the time to get you on the show directly. But we will schedule something now that everything is kind of calmed down and I'm moving into different subjects.
Fantastic.
All right.
And I will definitely take you up on that.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
I did have a fundraiser last evening on due diligence show.
Oh, sweet.
And the watchers were gracious enough to donate enough gold pills so that we were able to collect about $1,200.
Oh, that's awesome. Glad to hear
that. Cool.
Very cool. Yeah, you're standing in the gap where the VA is leaving people hanging high and dry, brother. That's good stuff. I love it.
Well, the big problem is you know, particularly in the area of mental health, that's one of the big areas they're cutting back services. And as the veteran suicide rate continues to rise, they just sit there and say, well, we don't quite understand why.
Yeah.
You know, right now, today, every hour, a veteran commits suicide. 24, 7 days a week, times 365. That's over 8,000 veteran suicides per year.
Wow.
And that's up 4 per day just from the beginning of this year.
Holy geez. That's totally unnecessary. It doesn't have to be that way.
I mean, you know, we have to increase that to one every 45 minutes.
Right.
I don't believe so. You know, there are programs out there. There's a national program called Veteran X. And it's in a number of cities throughout the United States. I'm not sure exactly which one, so I will find out which cities, which states. And, you know, I want to bring that into St. Michael's facilities. And, you know, about 90-95% of veterans that attend these meetings have PTSD, and it's been a very successful program.
Excellent.
And that's what we want to build on, is success.
Well, it's a good place to start. I'm really proud of what you've been able to do. You know, I mean, it's something that is definitely needed. It's an area that has been completely neglected, and it's probably the first thing that we should be taking care of. You know, I mean, the men and women who have essentially given everything to ensure that our freedoms can be protected are being 100% neglected, and it's sick. It's sad to see. My dad was a veteran, so, you know, I had to deal with the VA. I know what this is like.
Yeah. It can be frustrating, yes.
It can be. All right, Father Larry, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. We're going to take this last caller and then sign off for the night.
Sounds good.
All right, brother.
And I'll talk to you, and I'll be talking to you, JR.
Thank you, sir. Look forward to it.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye. All right. And over here on Rumble, Hamtown Girl 78 says $5 challenge for Red Pill. Appreciate that. Low Country Brooklyn passed out the link for St. Michael's Veterans Support Center.org for Father Larry Kirchner. And then his email again was Kirchner@priest.com. And we've got another caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get a name?
Hi, my name is Kelly Aron.
Hi, Kelly. How are you tonight?
Good. First things first, I want to say to JR that I've been watching you since you painted your yard, and I'm so proud of you for running such a great campaign, and you've really gotten your name out there, and I think that's amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Zach really helped me get my butt off the couch and help push me to the next challenge. So I think he's going to be doing that again.
I am. I'm not going to let you sit this one out. I believed in you then, and I still believe in you now.
Right. And I think you did win it. If it's a Republican district and you were the Republican, kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. You know,
I live in California. I got the nerds crunching the numbers, so we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Mike Lindell is... Right? Oh, you're in California?
I'm in California.
Oh, yeah.
So I do want to tell you that you don't have to run for office to get involved. And everybody keeps saying, what can you do to get involved? Well, I figured first things first, I probably should go to a Republican meeting.
There you go.
So go to the meeting, start meeting people, met the chairman. The chairman liked me, and so I had told him that I wrote into the website, and nobody answered me. And I said, so who's answering that? And he's like, well, I just took over everything. Nobody's answering it. And I said, well, can I do it? He's like, yeah, that would be fantastic. So then all of a sudden, I'm answering the entire county, everybody that writes into the Riverside GOP website.
That's amazing.
And so I started saving everybody as contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what I would do is, hey, we need help. And so I'd send out mass texts to everybody that I had saved as contacts.
And then there was a seat that opened up.
So I asked the chairman, can you put me into that seat? And they said, sure, I'll put you in that seat. Well, then my caucus chair stepped down. So I said, can you put me into that seat? So he said, sure, I'll put you into that seat. So now I'm the one that puts people into seats.
Look at that. Did you hear that, everybody?
Maybe because it's California, it might have been a little easier for me than it would be in a red state or something, but I don't know.
Well, it's worth a shot. I mean, we could be doing this all over the country. Yeah.
And then I started helping on campaigns. So watch the Ken Calvert campaign because he's going to win.
Awesome. Is this one of the races they're still counting?
That's one of the races they're still counting.
Okay.
He is going to win. They did internal polling, and he's going to win. But we are helping. So all I do is send out a text. Now I have 1,800 people saved in my phone. So I send out texts. Hey, who can help on the campaign? Make phone calls, door knock, go out, meet people, do all this stuff. We need help. And they're like, okay, I'll do it. I've never worked on a campaign, but I'll do it. And then I'd send them to the campaign manager. And so So Ken Calvert is awesome, and he's going to win. And then he's paired up with Bill Asaley, who's running for state assembly. And so they were running their campaign together. And so we teamed up volunteers, teamed up the campaign, and Bill Asaley, he won by a landslide.
Awesome. It's so simple. You know, I mean, you're absolutely right. You don't have to run for office to have an effect and to make a difference. I mean, there are so many different ways out there, and it's almost like there's too many different opportunities that are available for people to get out there and get involved. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, one of the reasons I don't like to give people like a specific directive, I want people to go out and seek what spaces they can fill, what spots they can occupy to further our movement and to further our goals into the next election cycle. I mean, all you have to do is look, guys. I swear to God, you know, you can start as Kelly RN?
Kelly.
Okay.
Like California.
Yeah, Cali RN. Cali RN. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. I know who you are. Yeah, just start by going to your county GOP meetings. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, you know, it's like 2 hours a month or something like that. It's very simple, a very small commitment, and you get an opportunity to network and to meet people that you probably otherwise wouldn't. And then maybe you can find other opportunities in there. I'm really, really proud of what you've done. That's great.
Thank you. And then I met somebody in there, and she was so focused on election integrity. We have to do election integrity. We have to do election integrity. She would get mad at me. She's like, we all need to be doing that. I said, listen, we have an army now.
Yeah.
We all do different facets of it, and we all help each other out. So I sent her one of the interviews that you did with Paul Preston.
Oh, sweet.
And she ended up contacting him. And so he's been helping her to remove the registrar or voter person that we have in there now, because she's terrible.
That's awesome.
And so I think she's hanging in by a string right now. I think they have enough evidence to remove her.
That's amazing. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I wanted to call also because of the previous caller, because he was saying, what can I do? He should contact Paul Preston because he'll help him in his county too.
There you go. Yeah. Paul Preston is a beast. He's going to be back on the show again soon too. So I'm excited about that. And JR, who has joined the show? Who is that beautiful, beautiful kitty?
His name is Church. He's a little guy we adopted. So I was actually about 2 years ago when I did the lawn painting, I adopted a kitten that I, you know, almost ran over, and he was about this guy's size. And then this year during the, you know, a couple weeks ago, similar instance where this little guy was running outside in the neighborhood all by himself, and we picked him up and took him to the vet and got him all fixed up, and now I got two cats, and
he's beautiful.
Hopefully I was allergic to cats, but I don't think I am anymore. So
that's great. Look at that.
Yeah, he's a little fighter.
He's super cute.
Insurrectionist with a kitty.
Oh man. All right. Well, Cali RN, do you want to give out your social media? Tell people where to find you.
Oh, I've been kicked off of everything, so I don't even okay. I don't even go on it anymore. But you can write into the Riverside County GOP. I'll answer you.
Okay. Awesome.
Oh, there you go.
Right into the Riverside County GOP. What an awesome idea. Just answer the emails and then build an army. I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've met the greatest people, and so now we've all become really good friends too.
That's great. That's so awesome. All right. Well, keep us informed and let me know how this continues to roll out. I absolutely love it. And I want to hear other people calling in with similar stories.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much. Right.
God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good day.
Good job. Good job.
Okay. Bye-bye.
How cool is that? How cool is that? All right, you guys. Well, we are at the end of the program. Let me just we've going to go through the thank yous over here on Foxhole, and I'm going to go ahead and check over here on Buy Me a Coffee and Cash App. We'll see if there's anything from over there. No, Liz from last night. And then over here on Cash App, nothing over there as well. If we go to the Foxhole, Donabo Libby starting it off with a cookie. Cubs Jedi says, here in NWO, had my vote, JR, keep up the good work, RP. And then Northwest Ohio. Okay, I get it now. I was thinking New World Order. That's, you know, that the only thing that came in. It's like you're inside the New World Order. And then Sumter 53, thank you for the shades. Bro, dude, good to see you with the can. Nikaz 808 says, thank you, JR. Sean Joe dropping a cookie and a sub. Really appreciate the sub. Just Josie says, thank you for standing up, JR. Willie Break It says, don't give up, JR. We need people of honest character such as yourself. Just Josie says, hashtag warrior. D Patriot says, New Jersey for JR Majewski. Love you, bud. C Kretz dropping a fleet just says, JR. Low Country Brooklyn says, I'd love to see Jim Jordan as speaker. I would too, but I think JR's right. He's going to be too busy with the investigations. Country Girl 007, thank you for the cookie. WC Cranop, good to see you, buddy. He says, thank you, Zach. Something you said last night at the 114 mark resonates with me. I'll email you. Sorry, just jump in here. Absolutely. Send me an email and we'll talk about it. Zoso Dude, good to see you, brother. He says, well said, brother. Love you, man. Just Duckies says, love you both. Love both you guys. And love all that you do. We support you both through and through. And then also said, everyone needs to stop panic reacting. We all should know by now that we work in optics. That is an excellent point. People are too reactive. This social media world that we live in has created a bunch of people with just, you know, like the, like everybody wants to snap judge. They want to get right into it and they want to react to everything. Take a beat. Stop for just a moment. Okay. Breathe and think about this stuff. You know, I mean, like, they wouldn't be trying to make you react if it wasn't a successful tactic. We have to take what they're doing to us and turn it on its head. Cuba Anon says, Trump did so many good things for us. I will never turn my back on him. A Boneless Chicken says, Trump is the largest threat to their ritual child sacrifice industry. They will nuke him daily. Don't buy it. Pi says, JR, we are proud of you. You're an honorable man. Parlay your intelligence and natural leadership into a win. Uncensored Abe, good to see you, buddy. JR, happy birthday, bro. Dude, I missed your birthday.
That's all right, bro.
Can't believe I missed your birthday. Oh, happy birthday.
I texted you and the day after your birthday.
I know. So that's why I feel even worse about it. I have it like saved in your contact and everything. Sorry about that, man. Yeah, there was a lot going on. Anyways, we are proud of you. You changed the debate and elevated the discussion. Godspeed. Warrior Mima says, phoning it in. Keep fighting, JR. Dropping a phone. Lynn's over it says, great show. Much love to you both. Average Joe Patriot says, we are not done. Much love. Two great Patriots, JR and RP. And then Patriot 714, who is a sub, just subscribed at the bronze subscription tier. Guys, if you haven't realized yet, there are now subscriptions that you can purchase over there on the Foxhole to support whoever you want to support on the Foxhole. You can also drop gold pills on posts and stuff like that. So you can just spread the love all you want. There are a number of tiers. I'm still in the process of setting those up. I think I'm going to do, something like people do on Patreon. You know, like if you're a particular tier, then we'll do like a private stream or something like that. But I need to know what you guys want to talk about because I want it to be different than just, you know, what I do on a regular show. Anyways, JR, you know, I love you. I hope that you don't give up because everybody's right. We need people like you. We need people like you that are willing to fight, that care about our country, that care about your state, and that that aren't just going to roll over and do what the McCarthys and McConnells of the world tell them to do. So obviously, we're at the end of the show, and I want you to let the audience know what you want people to take away from this.
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, kind of echo the whole conversation. It's like, we can't give up, you know, we got to keep fighting. I've been doing this for a couple of years now. And, you know, the hardest thing about it is, you know, the aftermath. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, build the bridges with your friends, build the bridges with the Democrats that, you know, I mean, some of you probably do know Democrats and some of them are, I mean, I would say if you have a relationship with them, it's probably because, you know, they're starting to see what's going on and the falsity of their movement. And, you know, as much as we need a strong leader that is willing to stand up for us, we also need to be a compassionate society. And, you know, those are the things that, you know, I've tried to work through, you know, the entire campaign. That's what me painting my lawn kind of was about, the underlying, message there was, I support Trump and it should be okay. You can support whoever you want. Let's meet in the middle and have some dialogue, right? Yeah. It's always been my message. I don't know how it got twisted into, everything else, but, I'm going to be back. We'll see in what, in what form. First thing I got to do is, get my life back together and, start making a paycheck because, campaigning took everything from me. So I think I'm going to get into the podcasting for a little bit until I figure out what my next path is. So
good stuff. Thankfully
you helped me buy a studio before, I decided to run for office. So I do have all this sweet, equipment that I could mobilize and use. So as soon as I get that up and running, we'll see what we can do. And for those of you that were formerly, fans of that show Ear Candy that I had, maybe we'll do something like that. We'll see. I want to do something that, whatever I do, I want to make it impactful. I really want to make a difference. That's my, entire intent out of all this. And, I'll find my way as I go, but, you can count that I'm going to be around in some form or fashion. I don't know anything else but fighting. So,
all right. Awesome. I love to hear it. Once more that I love you. Any way that I can help you, I will. And if you need anything, we're here for you. Somebody just suggested that I get you a show on Badlands. I think that's not a bad idea at all. If that's something you're interested in, then I can talk to my friends at Badlands and we can start the conversation. But you don't have a Foxhole channel, do you?
No, I don't have anything anymore.
We got to
my YouTube is I'm demonetized on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I can get it back. I just have to have a 1,000 more minutes watched or something like that.
Sure. Sure.
So
Yeah. Once you like drop below that watch, that minute threshold, then it goes away. So we'll get that back and we'll get you a channel over on Foxhole. And I'm sure people would love to see what you have to say and get you back out there in front of the audience. I mean, you got plenty of stuff to talk about and there's a lot of room in the podcasting game for people to get out there and give their opinions and talk about it.
I can give a perspective from inside the wire, I mean, that's the thing. I still have a lot of connections. So, I mean, I can make phone calls now and get congressmen and women on my show pretty easily. So,
oh, that'd be great. I think that would be awesome.
Made a pretty strong network of people that, that are still, this, you think when you lose that you lose the, sometimes people forget about you, but I've had a lot of members of Congress maintain contact with me and I don't think it would be too hard to get them on some of the podcasts.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to see it. All right, you guys. Thank you everyone for being here tonight. Really appreciate it. And thank you very much for all the people who showed up, even if you just came to troll the chat. I think that no matter what, the fact that you're here giving me a view, that means that you're kind of sweet on me. So appreciate you being here. Let's go ahead and close it out. I just passed out the gold pills.
Have the mods post a link to your OnlyFans and give them something to do.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, you guys. I'll be gone tomorrow, but I'll be back on Monday. So until that time, good luck and God bless. We'll see you then.